5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pad Studios. You know I'm RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I want to say thank you like I do every week. Thank you for supporting this show. Thank you for all you do here, whether you've been here or whether you're new here, and whether, and if you got to have more, listen to me. I say this every week, Patreon. The Patreon is the way to go. You got all these, we're sitting here talking about it with our guests now, all these, flags and red marks and censored words and everything, not on Patreon. And the Patreon is called The Honeydew with Y'all. And it's the wildest show on Patreon. It's your stories. And I promise you, you've never heard anything like it. All right. And if you're looking for a new podcast to listen to, my old podcast, The Crab Feast, which our guest today also has an episode. Look, that has been gone for 5 years. And the library did 1.1 million downloads this year. It's insane. So thank you for that. And I'm telling you, it's all your same favorite guest in podcasting with different stories you haven't heard before. It's called The Crab Feast. I did it with Jay Larson. Go check it out. All right. Make sure you're subscribed to my new podcast, The Way Back. It's right here on this YouTube channel. It's a fun new podcast we just started, and looking forward to you guys enjoying that one as well. All right. For all dates, all that stuff, RyanSickler.com. That's the biz. You know what we're doing over here. We're highlighting the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers, and I am very excited to have this guest on today. First time here on The Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dan Cummins. Welcome to The Honeydew, Dan Cummins.
Thank you, Ryan.
Long overdue, bro.
Good to see you again, man.
Same.
And congrats on all your success. I love it.
Thank you, and same to you, brother.
Ryan's a good dude. One of the best reputations in the business as far as just being a solid guy.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's in addition what people to being, say
yes.
out there. I don't
no
know.
No one has a bad word, truly.
No, that's not true.
No one that I've talked to. Seriously.
All right. Look, before we get into whatever we're going to talk about today, please plug, promote everything, anything Dan Cummins.
Yeah, just Time Suck Podcasts. If you like deep dives on conspiracies, serial killers, interesting historical figures, and more, and Scared to Death if you like paranormal kind of campfire ghost stories. I do that with my wife, try and scare her every week. And then I got a special trying to get better on YouTube.
All right,
that's it.
So I was saying, like, I know you. You did the Crab Feast, great episode back in the day, and Time Suck was taken off at the time, and you really popped.
Yeah.
And I was like, this motherfucker's doing good. Good for him, man.
Yeah.
I love seeing people like look at Matt Rife. You got TikTok and then boom, he takes off. Yep. I love seeing people figure out something and then run with it.
Yep.
You know, like we're all here for some people take stand up and parlay it for a morning DJ drive time. Yeah. Some get a talk show. Some get a this, a that, a this. I love seeing what comedians are able to do.
Me too.
I think we're some of the smartest, hardest working hustlers and creative when it comes to what has to be out there. There's actors didn't do these podcasts.
It is
comics. So, Joe Rogan really got to do it first. All got in. Segura comics did all this.
Yeah,
all this.
And it's fun to see how things are morphing and changing. Where it's like, you know, when we started, it was just very traditional. You know,
my
it's like
apartment started. My crab feast was in my apartment. Or at the kitchen even stand-up. Table.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like we started sitting there. What there weren't all these options. It was just like there was gatekeepers. There was you do this open mic. You hope that you can get to MC. Yep. You hope that you can feature. You hope that Comedy Central or one of the late night people take a liking to you and you know give you airtime so you can get on the morning radio in Peoria or Wichita because you were on the Tonight Show or whatever. I mean, it was like this very linear. This is how
regimented.
You need to do it.
Mm-hmm. This is the way it goes.
And then all
I was just talking to
these
20-year-old kid in Arizona. We're not going to be talking about this, everybody, the whole time. But this 20-year-old kid in Arizona, Phoenix, I let him open for me.
Yeah.
I let him do a guest spot. And I was like, dude, you're fucking really good. You're strong. You're funny. You're 20.
Yeah,
you actually have shit to talk about.
Yeah.
And he's like, what advice do you have? And I was like, let me tell you what advice I have. When we started, we had to bring a goddamn VHS camera, record our shit, then go to a dub house and get a bunch of them made, pack them up, mail them, hope that fucking made it, hope that somebody over there had a VCR that they put it in and watch. Like, are you kidding?
Come on, Yoder.
Tonight, you can take your phone, pop it up on a set. It can look shitty, and you can go out tomorrow. You can go home tonight, upload it, and go viral tomorrow.
Yep.
Tomorrow.
It's so different.
It's beyond different.
And then you're in the driver's seat. You know,
all
like
yours.
When you go viral now, it's like you have the power to draw. You can make deals with clubs. And it's like so many more people, you don't even have to work the clubs. You can just pick any venue that you can make a deal with that your fans will come to. You can skip the whole comedy club industry and just do stand up outside of it.
The fans come, I love it, because they love you or whoever. Mm-hmm. It's not the building. There are very few buildings. Comedy Works, Comedy Store, the Mothership. There are very few buildings that people are like, let's go because that place.
Mm-hmm. No.
All right, Dan Cummins, let's get into you. I really don't know your whole story. I really don't know where you're from originally, your background. You'd mentioned you had a little bit of a different upbringing. So let's talk about it.
A little atypical. I was born in Grangeville, Idaho. Little town. I didn't live there, but only born there because my town didn't have a hospital. So I was born in Riggins, Idaho.
Is that right?
Yep. And Riggins is about 400 people now. Little logging. Used to be a logging town.
Now it's 400 people. What the hell was it when you were born?
It was a little more. It's kind of dying.
More. Okay.
But
it's
not much
down.
More. It was like 500.
Wow.
it was
that's a
logging
high school
town.
Class.
Oh yeah, my high school. I graduated with 23 kids. Yep. 23.
That's one classroom when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Easy. There had to be more than 23 in some
probably
of our 30, classes. 30,
typical 35.
No
yeah.
shit. Okay. So you had to go to another town to get born.
Yep. You either, if you grew up in Riggins, if you weren't born at home or in the car on the way to the hospital somewhere, which was what happened to my aunt, you were born in Grangeville or McCall. They're like both about an hour away in either direction along this little canyon highway. It's just like it's a very, like the town can't get big. There's no room for it. It's in a very steep, just river canyon in the middle of Idaho. Yeah. So it's not only small, but it's not like small Midwest where, yes, okay, you have 400 people, but if you just drive 15 minutes, there's a town of 6,000, and then 10 minutes away is a town of 20,000, like one of those peripheral small towns. It's a small town, not near anything. You have to drive a long way to get to other tiny towns. Like it's super remote. And because it was so remote, you know, like cable TV, all those kind of things, it was not a priority because there was not enough financial incentive for those things to exist there. So we were like 10, 15 years behind technology-wise.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Like way behind.
You're how old now?
I'm 46.
So when did you guys get cable out there?
Like, not when I lived there.
Are you serious? You didn't still have it?
Didn't exist. Yeah.
No shit.
We had the thing that you could get – was in a legal satellite TV configuration, which there wasn't like Dish or those places. But what people do, and it cracks me up looking back, that I guess just no one cared about regulating this. You would get a massive, if your family had the money, you get a massive satellite dish, like a NASA type dish, giant thing on a huge, you know, 10-foot by 10-foot concrete slab. And then you would get this thing called the black box descrambler, and it would give you all of the channels. And I don't know how it was configured, but it, so either had no channels or all of the channels. But if you didn't have one of those, then you had to depend on the airwaves. And my grandpa was actually one of the ones that put this reflector up on this mountaintop on the edge of town, because it's so down in this canyon that the airwaves wouldn't reach it. So they like hiked up, like dragged this thing up. Yeah. Like
your grandfather was responsible for TV in that town.
And you, then you get like three channels.
That's great.
Or three or four.
Three, y'all take it over right, none. Right. Yeah. Hell yeah.
It was, yeah. Yeah. Really very different. So very limited. Like you're separated from the rest of the world and you can't even connect with them tech wise.
And are you an only child?
No, I have a sister.
Older or younger?
Younger.
Okay.
Yeah. And Donna, what about? Is 5.5 years younger.
Okay. What about your parents? Were they together?
No. Together when I was born.
Okay.
And then when I was, I don't know, 2 or 3, my dad moved to Anchorage, Alaska. He was a logger.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And then he went up there to work with his brothers in construction. A couple of his brothers had moved there. And then my mom and him followed him. So when I was like 3 or so like that, we went to Alaska as well. And so then I went to kindergarten, first, second, half of third grade in Anchorage. My sister was born when I was like in kindergarten. Then my parents split up. Dad stayed in Anchorage. And then we went back to Riggins to live with my grandparents.
Okay. So let me ask you this question, because this is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Anchorage is not the biggest city in the world either. But
no.
Is it an upgrade in tech and everything compared to where you just left in Idaho?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like I was pretty little then, but I have memories of like, you know, you're not supposed to watch HBO, you know, like that kind of stuff. Like we had it.
Yeah.
And I remember like, you know, we had a
It's just wild to me to think that Alaska is frozen tundra is dialed in more than little town.
I remember we had Fred Meyer's. We had Taco Time like around us, you know, like, and then we went back to Riggins and just nothing. Like there's no fast food there.
Really?
Nope. There's no chains.
So still?
Still. Yeah. For a little while after I left.
You put a Papa John's in that motherfucker, you're going to be rich, bro. You just should franchise a Papa John's in there tomorrow.
What's a weird thing too, like nobody supports. It's a weird local mentality too. It's like no one shops local, even though it's like this tiny little town. What people will do is they'll go to Costco. They'll go 2.5 hours away.
Is it that far?
Yeah. To like this Lewiston, Idaho, or 2 hours. Look, between, depends on how you drive, 2, 2.5. Go to Lewiston, Idaho, Lewiston, Clarkston. Go to the Costco. Everybody has like a deep freeze. Like my mom does this. And then just stocks up for like a month or two worth of food. And then when one of the local businesses dies again, they're like, oh man, just town's dying. I'm like, yeah, because none of you shop at the local places.
Right.
It's like, I can't believe anything still exists there outside.
So your parents
houses.
Are still there?
My mom, this is so it's ridiculous, but my stepdad, so my mom gets married again when I'm like, I don't know, 10 or 11 to this guy, Tim, my stepdad's still Tim Hinckley. Well, Tim had lived in Whitebird, which is even smaller than Riggins. It's like 100 people, 30 miles away. He moves to Riggins and then he convinces my mom, when I was like at the end of high school to move back to Whitebird because Riggins seriously is too many people for him. Yeah, he didn't like all the neighbors. He didn't like it's just
neighbors,
too much.
If there's 400 people, yep. This motherfucker yep. called him neighbors.
So he
that's
so,
a parade, dude.
right. So now they're in Whitebird, and not even in Whitebird. They're like just outside of Whitebird.
So you all really got to want to be. First of all, you better love the shit out of your partner. If that's all,
you'd be around him all the time.
All the time, right?
Yep.
And you really got to want to love to live out there like that, huh?
Yeah, you got
to
love the outdoors.
Yeah, and be quiet. Isolated. Are you playing sports or anything like that? Is there any organized sport? What the fuck are you doing?
There was sports, but not a lot of them. We didn't have baseball.
For like
you didn't
briefly.
Have fields or just not enough people to coach.
We had
play,
a field,
sort of
but not enough people. And also it's like, it's small, but you have to drive so far to get to other communities. It's like, you got to go to a half an hour to another town called New Meadows is about the same size as us. And then another half hour pass. So there's like, and it's kind of like a dangerous, like these little highway canyon roads. And so it was tricky to get to other places. Our school didn't have baseball, but we did have like American Legion ball for like 2 years. And then, but then that went away. It wasn't enough people. We had basketball, track, volleyball all through the
soccer,
school.
Soccer, football.
No soccer. And we had eight-man football.
Eight-man.
Yeah. And everybody played offense and defense.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy? We had a first-round draft pick well after my time there.
What do you mean?
Leighton Vander Esch for the Dallas Cowboys played in Riggins.
Nah. Yep. How the hell did they find him? Kudos to the scouts on that guy.
He went from Salmon River High, where I went to high school. I'll have to tell you about our mascot. So inappropriate. And then walked on to Boise State, okay. If I remember
at
right.
The blue, Boise's blue, the turf. Blue turf, right? Yeah.
And then played so well there that he got attention.
No shit.
But yeah, he came out of, I mean, I don't know him or anything. Yeah. He was after my time, but like, yeah, came out of little old Riggins.
No shit. All right.
Salmon River Savages.
Savages is what you guys were.
Our painted on the gym wall. American Indian guy, wild-eyed on horseback with a tomahawk race, like he's about to murder people. The Savage. To this day, it's still that.
Is it? Yeah, there ain't nobody telling them to change.
And
that
not
shit.
The most inappropriate mascot in our league.
Who's the most inappropriate?
Or maybe they're just out of our league, but we would play them once or twice. But Orfino, Idaho, which is a little bigger, their mascot is the Maniac. I believe still it was growing up, and last I checked, it still was. Orfino Maniacs.
Yeah, and what represents
and,
the Maniac?
A crazy-eyed hair going everywhere, and I think they changed the painting maybe to act like it wasn't what they were doing. But when I grew up, it was like a dude in a straitjacket. It was like a maniac, and next to the high school was one of the state mental hospitals.
Nuh-uh.
Yep. Yeah, the high school, the Maniacs. And
the mascot, just get him to come home. Yeah. Get a new mascot every night.
Yeah. And they tried to say when they got, you know, people later got mad about it. And they're like, no, it has nothing to do with the state hospital. They acted like it was just some announcer said, oh, they're playing so hard on the court. They're playing like a bunch of maniacs. And that's all it was. It's like, no, I saw the painting. It's clearly a nod.
That is Joe over there.
Yeah, that's Joe. Yeah, but yeah, tiny little sports teams. But we did have sports. But other than that, I mean, what would you do? A lot of kind of like dinking around in the woods.
Do you have four wheelers? What do you have out there?
Not when I was growing up, but my mom does now. Four wheelers. It was mostly like, God, I mean,
just walking then.
Yeah, just
bike riding,
playing hoops at the you know, little outdoor court in town, or just swimming in the river, like outdoor stuff. I mean. Some people, it was normal back then to like, you know, just walk out in the woods with a, I don't know, 22 rifle and shoot squirrels. Yeah. Like real backwoods stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. My stepdad, like I have so many memories of weekends, him and his buddies.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It was very typical. They, at the time, they would just like, we'd go camp on the weekends. So we're already living in a small town. And then we'd leave the small town, go way further out in the woods, camp, and it was basically just a bunch of dudes drinking Keystone Lights and shooting at small creatures. Like they would spend an entire afternoon
just
shooting
doing that,
shooting at groundhogs. And if you ask them, like, well, why are you doing that? Why not? It's just something to do.
Yeah. So how often are you seeing your dad then? When your mom, you said your mom followed him up, but then left.
Right.
So, so what age do you stop seeing your dad regularly at least?
So I was third grade. So I think I was eight.
Okay.
8 or 9, but I think 8. And then I don't, and then for a few years, I just don't see him much. He's up in Alaska. We're down there. I saw him maybe like once or twice a year, weekend or something like that. Talked to him on the phone usually once a week. And then he moves down to Arizona. And then I don't know, seventh or eighth grade is when I first spent like a summer or half the summer with him. So then I'd spend half the summer with my dad. And then he moved to Las Vegas. And when I was a freshman in high school, so the summer before freshman year in high school, I went down to spend part of the summer with my dad and then just didn't come back. I was kind of a dad's boy and wanted to spend more time with him. So then I went to live in Las Vegas my freshman and sophomore year of high school. And so then went to a high school where there was like 650 kids in my class. And it was just a huge culture shock.
Talk about that. Yeah. You went to Vegas?
Went to Vegas.
Why Vegas?
That's where my dad was living for construction.
So you just, and so you went to be with him?
Wanted to be with him. And that's where he was living. And so my sister, now my sister and I kind of split. So she's living with my mom primarily. I'm living with my dad primarily. And it was, we were living in this Anchor Village apartments off of like Rainbow and Durango. It's been so many years. And I went to Bonanza High School.
What was their mascot? What's Bonanza?
I don't remember, actually. I don't even know what their mascot is.
Probably a cowboy or something.
But it was, that was like my introduction. Like we had kids at the school who supposedly were like in gangs, like the Bloods and stuff. And I would see crazy fights.
You're going from 100 kids to, or your graduating class was 23, you said, to this?
Yeah. And our high school there had about, I don't know, 24, 25, 2,600 kids, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was huge culture shock because I was like very much, and we were poor too. Like both dad and mom, very poor. So I'm like getting my clothes at like flea markets and stuff. But that was the first time I knew I was poor because in Riggins, everybody was poor.
Tell me about that. Yeah.
So it's like, and then all of a sudden in my freshman year of high school, you know, I distinctly felt like for the first time, like a massive outsider. It's like, you know, I got these kids with their Z Cavaricis and all that kind of stuff, or Hugo Boss or whatever. And I'm like wearing like a Bart Simpson fucking flea market t-shirt. Yeah. And like, because we live next to this kind of rich area. It was like our apartment complex, but then next to this area called the Lakes, where it's like an artificial lakes and these mansions. And those kids went to my same school, but then also kids from like rougher areas went. So it was like the first time I'd been around like cliques. And I didn't really fit in any of them. And I'm
also guessing everyone in your town in Idaho was white.
Yep.
Anchorage, maybe not
for like
so
one
much.
One kid, maybe. Anchorage, not so much. Yeah. But in Idaho, it's like, like you would have maybe one family. Like we had one, literally one Asian girl in town, in the whole town, in my class, Jenny Beto. Her dad was Japanese. Her mom was white. She lived with her white mom in Riggins. So it was like literally just Jenny. And then, what was it? Garcia's family. It was like we had one family, Joey. I remember his first name. It was Hispanic, like literally one Hispanic family. And that was it, I feel like, as far as ethnic diversity. And then, you know, like Las Vegas, it was, you know,
everything. Latino, Asian, white, black, everybody's out there. Yeah.
And so I went from like being a kind of a popular kid, I guess, in Riggins, as far as everyone's kind of popular there for the most part. But one of the more popular, I was kind of like a little jock. Played basketball, baseball, you know, when it was going, anything I could. And then and was good for there, for like for Riggins. Go to Vegas and I am beyond like not even going to like ride the bench, like not a whiff of playing on any of the teams.
That's what I wanted to say about the guy that got drafted.
Oh, it's crazy the leap he made.
That's what I'm saying. Like you think in 100 people, like even the top guy, and then you put him. Yep. It's like the Heisman Trophy winner in college. You put him in the NFL. Yep. Sometimes they don't even do shit.
Yep.
Best college guy can't even be anything in the NFL.
Right.
It happens. So for that guy to go from there and be like, whoa, insane. Yeah, it is insane.
That's to not be
insane.
Intimidated.
Right.
And just speaks to his like raw athletic ability.
Yes.
I did not have that.
Blessed.
Totally. Yeah. And then I just became kind of a delinquent.
Yeah, so, Vegas. I was going to say, how'd you fit in? So you
not
become
well.
A delinquent?
So I don't really have many friends. And then looking back, kind of like analyzing myself, I don't know that I would have thought this at the time, But like, I went there to spend time with my dad. My dad was busy with construction and just like with my stepmom and just not like a real interactive dad at that time. And so looking back, I think I was pretty pissed about it. And so I'm just kind of stewing in my room. And then, you know, like I meet this kid named Chris and he's just like anarchy. He lives in the apartment. Actually, it was condos, this complex of condos next to our apartment complex situation. And his mom, single mom, no dad around. And his mom is usually at her boyfriend's house every weekend. So if I would stay the night at Chris's on the weekend, we had free reign to do whatever we wanted. And whatever we wanted tended to revolve around trying to make explosives and and burning a lot of shit.
Yeah, burning shit.
So we were like starting fires. We were breaking. He had a lockpick set. We were breaking into places, breaking into cars.
For real?
Oh, yeah. Trying to blow shit up. No, I was the only, it was Chris, me, Russ, and I can't remember this fourth kid, but like out of all of us, they all had records and I like barely avoided getting caught every time somebody else.
Places. What kind of places? Like businesses and shit?
Craziest place we broke into that I could have gotten a lot of trouble. We had these fucking, all these convoluted plans. We played basketball at this either grade school or junior high, like half mile down the road. And we came up with this plan. We were going to break into that, into the school.
The school?
Mm-hmm. Jesus, take computers. Bro. And then pawn the computers for money for video games. Just some fucking dumb 15, 16-year-old plan. And so one night, we're staying at Chris's place. We had Russ was supposed to be our getaway driver. And he drops us off. We push this dumpster over the edge of the building, climb up the building. There's an access thing on the roof. We're able to like break that, get in. And then we're able to like break door locks. It was like the handles that you grab that are the horizontal to the floor. And if you just stood on it basically and pushed all your weight, you could kick it and break it and get into these places. And then we walk out. I don't know. Alarms are going off. We walk out.
They're
like,
going off for real. Mm-hmm. And you're walking.
And we walk out like
with computers,
With computers in our arms. But you know, it's middle of the night, kind of a quiet residential. We still thought we could get out of it. Well, then some security guard has, you know, been alerted and is coming to our place and, you know, gets out of the car, but he's like, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 feet away, put the computers down, yelling at us, you know, walk over here. And I tell Chris, it's like that time in Vegas where we were at, there would be like a block of developed, you know, track houses, apartments, whatever. And then next to it, a full block of just desert. So totally dark. So there was like this grid of, you could just kind of like weave through these darker areas and be a little sneaky. And I was like, no, man, let's just go. Well, Chris thought he could talk his way out of it. He sets his stuff down, walks over to the security guard. I stand in the darkness and just yell for like a minute of like, fucking push him, fucking go, push him, fuck that guy. He doesn't, I do. And so I actually made it back to Chris's condo. And then I just stayed at his place by myself that night. Russ got spooked and never went, picked us up. He just fucking left us.
Nah.
Yep.
This motherfucking getaway driver. Getaway driver,
gone. So. But there was like incidents like that. So Chris got in trouble.
Yeah.
Didn't rat me out. No, nobody ever ratted me out. But I had like little things like that. Yeah. We had a ton of just the dumbest. How do we not get caught? The craziest one that I should have gotten caught for, we had another really dumb plan where we were going to steal bicycles at another apartment complex across the street from Chris's condo. And middle of the day. And I was such a dork. I was into rollerblades. So I had rollerblades. It was Chris and one of Chris's friends. I can't remember his name. This other dude. We were going to get those guys bikes. And then they're going to bike downtown to this like computer game store. I'm going to rollerblade. We're going to steal shit from there. God, it was the fucking dumbest plan. We're going to steal shit from there. And then just ride our bikes back and stuff like that. Return them to whoever we stole them from. And then just go play these games. We never made it very far. We were very unsuccessful in all of these plans we had. We go middle of the day. It's like these big apartment buildings where there's maybe 8 units on a side. And so there'll be like, you walk into, and then two little, I guess, entrances where you walk into an entrance and there's an apartment on your left, like 2-story apartment on your right, or you can go up the stairs, one on your left, one on your right. And then, but all of those have balconies. And like screen doors and stuff. So if anybody's in there, they can just be looking out to see who's coming in this main entrance. Middle of the day, don't even check to see who's there. There's like 2 bikes next to one of the doors. Chris and this other guy just walk in, just grab straight up fucking grab these bikes, start walking them out. And then the guys were home. Like they just saw them walking away with their bikes. I'm like being my little fucking rollerblader in the parking lot out in front, doing little circles, waiting for him. And then these two guys come out and they're jacked. They're like dudes in their 20s. And they're like, what the fuck? Yeah, that's our fucking bikes. And now Chris and this other guy like throw the bikes down. They start running. Well, I'm on rollerblades and I'm rollerblading with one of the other guys who's running now during this down this
next
like
to him.
You're next to him. So I'm in front at first. Like I'm doing great. I'm leaving him in the dust. I'm fucking rollerblading way in front of him.
But I ain't never heard anybody tell a story about getting away on rollerblades. Oh.
This is, I wish I had visual of this just from my own memories, like a video.
In my mind, you're in short shorts and a half shirt.
Oh, it's probably not far off. So I'm rollerblading and at the edge, you know, in the desert, there would be these big, like, I guess what, where the water could drain off into the desert out of the parking lot. So these big concrete things where you rollerblade. And then I made it to the end. So it's like a wall, like a 6 foot, you know, concrete kind of block wall. And we get cornered. Like there's nowhere to go. Me and this other dude on foot. Well, he's on foot. I'm on rollerblades. This other guy chases. He's on foot. We climb over the wall, throw ourselves. Well, now it's one of those desert blocks.
You climbed over rollerblades. They're heavy, dude. They're not light.
I pulled myself over. Well, then check this shit out. I drop myself on their side. I have a full block of desert now. Now it's just sagebrush. And I'm in fucking rollerblades.
I'm like. You're off-roading in your rollerblades. Oh, yeah.
So I'm running as fast as I fucking can on these rollerblades. Oh, and now the dude who I was way ahead of, well, he fucking passes me because he's on foot. And then the other dude that's chasing us jumps over the wall. And now I have like this crazy adrenaline where I just have to make it to the sidewalk. And if I can make it to the sidewalk, I'll fucking beat him. Oh, my. I wish I had video of how fucking hard I was running in these heavy rollerblades. And then how I did make it. And I was so happy as I'm fucking rollerblading down the sidewalk. Like I barely made it to the sidewalk in front of him. Shit. But then I was gone. Like I was pretty, it's like so many close calls.
You got
like
away on rollerblades,
oh, yeah.
Dude.
What but can you imagine, like there was a busy street next to us. I just picture somebody my age now driving and seeing this skinny ass kid on rollerblades. Jack, dude, chasing him.
If I could just get him before he hits that pavement,
oh, he would have beat the fuck out of me.
He would have beat the shit out of
me. And so many incidents like that of almost getting annihilated.
Oh, God.
And all rightfully so by people I had done shitty things to.
Oh, fuck. God damn. That was hilarious. According to the CDC, fewer men than women meet the minimum daily intake recommendations for fruits and vegetables, and men are more likely to overvalue exercise and undervalue nutrition. Enter Ritual, a multivitamin scientifically developed for men to help fill nutrient gaps in their diets. I've been using Ritual for years, all right? They get mailed to my home. They come in little capsules, got those little balls in there too. It's hard to eat well all the time when you're running around on tour, doing podcasts, all that stuff. Ritual, I've been taking it for years. I threw away all the other multivitamins I used to go get at the store. I've been using Ritual for years. I 100% believe in them. It's a science-backed multivitamin for men 18 and over with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean bioavailable forms. 10 key nutrients in 2 delayed release capsules per day designed to dissolve later in the small intestine, an optimal place to absorb nutrients. And it's gentle on an empty stomach with the minty essence in every bottle that helps make taking your multivitamins actually enjoyable. Essential for Men is a quality multivitamin from a company you can actually trust. Get 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/honeydew. This offer is only available through January 31st. Start your Ritual or add Essential for Men to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/honeydew for 40% off. The Farmer's Dog was founded by two dog lovers who decided to reimagine pet food from the ground up. The results of switching your dog from kibble to fresh food can seem like magic. When a senior dog starts acting like a puppy again, or the pickiest of eaters can't wait for dinner time, you might think some spells were cast. But the Farmer's Dog doesn't use any sorcery or secret ingredients to make their fresh food.
just science. It is developed by vets, nutritionally balanced, and made from real healthy ingredients to human food safety standards. It's the best option for dogs at all life stages because it's not kibble, it's not canned goo, it's just real healthy food. Not only that, it's also pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. This makes it easy to help your dog maintain their ideal weight, which is one of the biggest indicators of a healthy life. It doesn't matter if your dog is young or old. It's always the right time to begin investing in their health, helping you live more healthy, happy, and full years together. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/honeydew. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to thefarmersdog.com/honeydew to get 50% off. That's thefarmersdog.com/honeydew. The Honeydew is sponsored by BetterHelp. Around New Year's, every year, we're getting obsessed with how to change ourselves instead of taking time to just expand on what we're already doing right. Maybe you finally organized a part of your space and maybe you want to tackle another. Or maybe you're taking your supplements every morning and now you want to add more to your routine too. Therapy helps you find your strength so you can ditch extreme resolutions and make changes that really stick. All right. I'm a big believer in therapy. I go to therapy. I just recently had a session. Just to talk, you know, sometimes you just need somebody to listen and help you out. And I'm telling you, if you're at that point or even thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/honeydew today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do.
Okay, so if you say you're graduating classes,
yeah.
So then you go back. Why do you go back?
It was the weirdest, I guess, because my dad had
contact. Did you like it there? Did you like living with your dad? I mean, more, that's my question. Did you enjoy living with your
dad? It was not what
dad?
I thought it was going to be. I love my dad and I have a good relationship now. Mm-hmm. But we had definitely some like rougher years. And part of it was like, no, it was not. My stepmom was a psychopath.
Oh, he remarried as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And check this. This is the craziest. As a parent now, and again, I love my dad now, like we're good, so I don't want to throw my dad in the bus, but I just can't believe he did this looking back. So he's a divorced guy. Before I moved to Vegas, two kids. He meets this blackjack dealer at one of the casinos downtown Vegas. They get married 2 weeks after they meet. Two Damn. Weeks. And in that interim, during that 2 weeks, she tells him, not only does she not want to have kids, I don't like kids. And so,
did she know he had two before yes. they got married?
And these fucking idiots. So he marries a woman as a guy with two kids who does not like kids, just straight up. And she marries him. Both of them fucking idiots. Marries a guy who she knows has two kids. And so she was not overjoyed when I went to live with them. And it was just it was not a great, like, you know, living with somebody who actively does not like you.
But you're a high schooler. Is yeah. that considered kids still for her, just in general, period? Not some toddler she had to help take care of, or she doesn't really even need to be a mom.
No, and she didn't do much.
You got a mom.
No. And she was kind of like, you know, absent. She just wasn't a good person. Like, they ended up getting divorced later, but she just like, there was, I don't know what the fuck. The sex must have been amazing.
Must have
been amazing, because I don't know, other than that, like what he saw in her. Like, no, nobody does.
Were they together for a while?
They were together for about 10, 15 years. So that's, quite a while.
I got to say, off of a 2 year.
Oh, my God. 2 weeks.
I mean, it meant 2 weeks. Sorry. Yeah. Yes. Oh, thank yeah. you. 2 weeks to 15 years. Even unhealthy.
It wasn't fucking a good 15 years, but they kept it together shit, somehow. Dude. Oh, paid for it big time. But then randomly. So, okay. So we're down there for 2 years. Well,
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is,
Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He's, you know, not making a ton in construction. And in Vegas at that time, he just feels like they're never going to be able to kind of get ahead down there. And he did like, in Riggins, he moved all around. He's like a pastor's son. His dad took various gigs at different Pentecostal churches. And so they moved around a bit, but he liked Riggins, where he met my mom, still had friends there, liked that area of the country, just thought it was beautiful. He's a big hunter, outdoors guy. And randomly was just kind of looking back at the area. And so 12, 13 miles outside of Riggins is a little community called Pinehurst. And I mean, I don't know, 15, 20 people live there.
That's it?
It's like a gas station.
It's like two families.
Yeah, a gas station, a church, and then just a couple families.
Like
So it's not a town. It's just like there's these little communities along the river. He finds a piece of property there that is super cheap. And just end of my sophomore year, is like, hey, we're going back to that area. And it was like if he would have moved 10 miles further away from Riggins, I would have been at a different school system. I would have been like with New Meadows. So I ended up just happening to go back to my original school.
Yeah. So you're reuniting with people you already knew.
That's and that was super fun. So then junior, senior year, it's like, yeah, I didn't want to stay in Riggins forever, but it was just nice to have like my old friends and stuff.
Yeah.
So that was good. But then it was just a weird living situation because I didn't get my driver's license before we left. I missed driver's training in Idaho. So I had a full year when we got back where I'm just kind of stuck out in Pinehurst. And it's funny. I showed my mother-in-law. She was curious about where I grew up. We drove to like the area where I was a little kid in Riggins and then took her out to Pine. She literally cried at like how sad it was. She
Now,
and it was worse then.
Right, that's what I'm saying. She's crying today.
She's like, I can't believe you got out of here.
Yeah.
Because it's like rural poverty. My fucking room, my junior and senior year of high school was essentially a shed. Like I basically lived in a shed because there was like the main house, which was a one bedroom, one bath.
One bed, one bath for your mom, dad.
That was for stepmom and dad.
Sister.
Yep. And then sister still at mom's most of the time. Okay. Well, there was this.
Oh, wait, this is when you went back.
This is when I go back.
Okay.
So now there's this outer building on the other side of the property that was no real insulation. I mean, it was built like a shed. It was like concrete floor and no real insulation in the walls. No sink. I mean, we had a toilet out there. But that was it. It was just like it was like a fucking room where you would feel like you take a hostage, like some fucking sex dungeon where you're gonna trap somebody and like, hey, you can shit in the toilet, but that's all you got.
Yeah.
You gotta stay in this locked room. That was the bathroom, and then there was just kind of two rooms. There was a wall in between, but it had a doorway, but no door. You never put a door in, so there was just like a curtain separating my sister's room and my room. No like AC, heat, none of that. And that's where I lived fresh or junior or senior year.
Damn.
And just out in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like,
so then when do you get out? When do you decide to move out of there?
After I graduated senior, I worked for my dad in construction that summer to save money. But, just cause I needed money for college. And I worked at the grocery store. As soon as I turned 17, I was able to get a license. I got a little truck. Then I worked at the grocery store in town to save money. And then I got a scholarship or a series of little scholarships and grants to Gonzaga. And,
did you?
Mm-hmm, and that's what got me out of there.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was – college for me was less about like, oh, I got this plan of I'm going to do this and then I'm going to get this kind of job. It was just I just fucking need to get out of here. And college was the way to do it. And my family was very supportive of that too. They wanted me to go to college.
So what is your relationship like with your sister?
Good. Yeah, really good.
So was it – did you two like enjoy getting back together when you moved back?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, she's 5.5 years younger. So at that age, it's a pretty big gap, you know, but no, it was really good. Like I like try to look out for her and, you know, kind of mentor her a little bit, I guess, when I got to college. And then as adults, we become like really close.
You mentioned your mom remarried too. Was he a good dude?
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Like
was
good to you and stuff, unlike the stepmom?
Yeah. He's great. And Tim is still
my stepdad. Are they still together?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they are.
Yep, he's a solid dude.
Okay.
Yeah. Super chill. Yeah, big gun guy. I like guns, you know, a fair, like, whatever. It's fun to shoot them.
Listen, if you live out there, you better be a fucking gun person. You don't just have people. You got animals. You got all kinds of shit out there. Yeah.
Yeah, we did a little hunting and stuff. Yeah. My dad's really big into that. But my stepdad, he was like a logging equipment mechanic. And yeah, just a cool dude.
It's a job you don't hear often.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
What's your mom do?
She worked at, when we first moved back, she worked at like the pizza place and a variety of little places. And then she got a job at the grocery store kind of doing their bookkeeping. And then she went from there to like, there was like one bank in town. So it was a pretty like coveted job because it had benefits, you know, decent pay. And then so she worked as a checker at the bank, or teller, I guess. Yeah. And then my grandma and my grandparents, my mom's parents, my grandma Betty and grandpa, they were like the real glue that were like provided the most stability. So no matter where I was, I always had a super good relationship
with
them. They
lived local as well.
Mm-hmm. They lived in Riggins. We lived with them when we first moved back from Alaska. My grandpa had built a series of little rental houses. And so actually the places we lived with my mom were places he owned.
Okay.
And super helpful to his two daughters. And they both were. And but like he worked at the sawmill before it burnt to the ground and wasn't rebuilt. And my grandma worked at the post office. So they had like good jobs for that little town.
Yeah, post office. Yeah. That's a government job in that town. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she worked at the post office for like 30-some years.
So you had a little bit of family, but you have no cousins or anything like that you know of up there? Just you and your sister?
Yeah, cousins in other little towns, mm-hmm. an hour and a half away, but nobody else in town. Yeah.
Were you an introvert, or were you just forced to be an introvert at first and then you realize you're not when you get to Vegas? Like, what were you like growing up? Are you spending a lot of alone time?
Yeah, but I think I've always been an introvert, you know, where it's like, it's weird. Like, you know, I love conversations like this, but as far as like, you want me to come hang out at some big get together, like no part of that has ever sounded fun to me really. Like when I was hammered in college,
I'm an extroverted introvert.
Yeah. Yeah. I can turn it on for moments, but I need to recharge. I can be in front
of crowds and everything. Yeah, yep. And I don't want to go fucking hang out at the anniversary party or right. whatever. I'm not interested.
Yeah. Me too. Good, me too. And so I did. I think it helped, honestly, my imagination. I just like, you know, read a lot of books, played a lot of like stuff, you know, just games by myself. Like when I was little, it was G.I. Joe's and that, where you're building scenarios and all this stuff. And then in high school, when I came back, you know, got into like Dungeons and Dragons for a little bit, but just lot of time to think and a lot of time just to, I don't know, daydream and stuff, I guess. So I do think that shaped me somewhat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk. I just want to switch gears for a second, because we were talking before we recorded about, you know, you start to get a little bit of success and then you got to keep working, right? We all have that, like, I don't know. I just come from that. It's fun. I just saw this clip the other day that was like, yeah, it's like I worked 5 jobs at one point.
Wow.
You know, I never worked less than 3,
you know,
doing something. And I was always broke.
Right.
And then you hear all these other people, I'm working 3 jobs, they're always broke. And I was like, there's got to be a smarter, not harder way.
Right.
And when you just come from that, you know, I'm very blue collar background and come from mm-hmm. that just work. And you don't even know why. It's go to college and you'll make something yourself.
Like, totally.
I'm just supposed to go to this university and then magically I'm going to make something that myself. That's what everyone, the answer to success was mm-hmm. college.
Yep.
And I no longer feel that way at all. I'll go back and forth with my daughter's mother on this, because she's like, are you going to save for a college fund? And I'm like, nah.
No.
She's like, well, what if she wants to go to college? I was like, I'll deal with it once she wants to go to college. Like, I had nothing.
Yeah.
So just because we have, I don't want to just throw money. Well, then you could just give her the fucking $40,000. Where I'm like, yeah, I'm good on that. Right. I'm going to use that motherfucking money, you know?
Yeah.
So you actually hit a little bit of burnout. Is that right?
Yeah. For the first time, because like you, I was raised, you know, very, you know, poor and like blue collar. And same thing, like in high school, you know, as soon as I could drive, I'm working before I go to school, doing like freight.
Working in 7th grade.
Like when I was in grade school and stuff, I mowed a bunch of lawns. That was like mm-hmm. how I get some extra money. And then
you ever shovel snow for people? You got to.
We didn't have enough snow there.
Really?
Yeah, it's like it's in a weird little microclimate. If you go half an hour in any either direction,
I've been to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and it's just lots fucking yeah.
But where we not much there, but little, you know, do this, do that, work for my dad, go to job sites, you know, construction. then work, you know, the before school, after school, when I got to college, always had a job in, like you said, usually two, never had more than three, but I would have like multiple jobs, you know, got out of school, had my full-time job. It's kind of like a low level counselor type position, but then also worked at a gym, always working lots of hours, and then just carried that mentality into comedy, mm-hmm. you know, doing stand up, but then trying to like, you know, sell spec scripts or working in reality television as a consultant producer while doing stand up, mm-hmm. while hosting this other thing, just always doing a lot of things.
Stand up, always present, yep. doing 10 yep. other fucking things.
Yep. Yes. And then carried that into podcasting. Launching all these podcasts, but I also do stand up. So, you know, when you're offered like tour dates, especially once you start to kind of sell some tickets, you're like, oh man, now I'm after 15 years, I'm finally making more than $1,500 a week, you know, doing this and then saying yes to all that. And just in the habit of just always saying yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. There's an opportunity. I'll take it. And then pretty soon I'm working legitimately 70 plus hours a week every week. And then that just becomes normal of like never having a day off. Even on vacation, wife, kids, they'll go do something. I work half days and then I'm hanging out with the fam in the evenings. And that just like became our like normal way of life. And then it was just this last year that I just started to get like so tired and just really, but I didn't even interpret it as that at first. I just felt like depressed. And I'm like, why am I not enjoying all these things that I've been enjoying?
When did it like finally click? Like, man, I've just been, because for a while you just get in that work mode, work, totally. Work, work. When did it hit you where you were like, hey?
It was when my son went to college. It was like, I think I had this end goal, like, because then I got divorced, you know, later and really struggled for a few years after the divorce, like worrying about, am I going to be able to help my kids go to college? My ex-wife, she's killing it in the corporate world. Great job. Am I going to be like the deadbeat dad and not be able to help? All these things are coming up in my head, like worried about like, am I going to be a version of kind of how my dad was for a certain period and not be able to help? And that was like a big fear of mine. So then once I started making some money, I'm like, oh, cool. I'll be able to like help my kids like I wanted to. And then that became my whole focal point was getting the kids to college. And my wife and I moved back to Coeur d'Alene to be close to my ex. Like we didn't move there because we wanted to live back in Idaho.
Okay, so you were married once.
Right.
And got divorced.
Got divorced.
You had two kids?
Two kids.
Okay.
Yep. My son and my daughter moved to LA, flying them back and forth, trying to make something here.
Wow.
You know, a lot. So it's tough. So it's like, you know, when you're not working, you're also getting on planes to make sure you're present father, all mm-hmm. these things.
Well, if you want to be a good father.
Totally. Which, right, you know, very much, you could have been a deadbeat. Could have been a piece of shit.
You could.
But wanted to be a good dad. And then we moved to Coeur d'Alene thinking that was going to fuck our careers. It definitely fucked my wife's career. She worked in a film and TV production, said goodbye to that. So then all our focus became just on the kids up in Coeur d'Alene and making sure that work, making sure the sacrifice we took.
So
in
wait,
ways.
You actually did the opposite of your father. You married a woman that liked kids.
Yep.
Good for you.
Oh, that was, yeah. After that,
way to not replay that out.
Oh my God. When she first met him, I remember being so nervous because I was super into her.
Can I ask you how long you waited before you introduced your new wife to your children?
It wasn't super long because when we started dating, the kids were with me for the summer and they were about to go back. And so I wanted just to test the waters. Mm-hmm. So we all went to a Dodgers game. That's and that good. Was like the introduction. We go to a Dodgers game with, you know, with my friend. And I was just curious how the kids would take to her. And I was super nervous because if it didn't click, I was like, well, then that's it. It's over. But I was like really into her. And thank God, like they adore her. Like she's a super
mom. Vice versa.
Yep. And vice versa.
Hell yeah. Good.
She's very, very nurturing. She worked at the synagogue daycare and stuff. So she was like worked with kids and liked that and was a nanny for a couple families early on when she was getting into production. So I knew that she was good with kids, but you don't know that's going to translate to yours. So luckily that works. But then Lindsay and I, so my wife and I's focal point becomes we're living here for the kids. We're busting our ass for the kids and everything is like getting them to college. And then when I dropped him off in college and come home, it was like the most unexpected depression.
Yeah.
Just hit like so hard, like, you know, miss him a ton.
I was going to say
the number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app.
Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're an empty nester.
Yeah, well, I have one kid.
Partial.
Halfway. And then, but it was also like, I didn't realize that I crossed this finish line where I'm like, well, I was just focused on just getting them to college. Now one's there and we're doing okay financially. It's like this thing. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not poor anymore. And then it was like, and I go right back into the grind of the 70 hours a week. But then I had this lingering feeling like, why are you still doing this? Like, why are you still working this many hours? And this awareness of you only have 3 years left with Monroe and then she's going to be in college. Like, you know how that hits now. Don't you want to like be around even more because now you can. And then that voice is just kind of in the background. And then I have this special come out on YouTube and we're doing these press for it. So I'm doing the podcasting, the tour dates, flying to New York, flying to LA, taking these trips. And when I was in New York like a month or two ago, my wife was trying to get me to come up with a tour name. And she's talking about, hey, we got to make plans. We got to get these things together as far as when you're going to announce certain things on the podcast. And I've been dragging my feet on that stuff. And she just said, she's like, honestly, she goes, I don't think you want to do it. I was like, what? She's like, every time I bring it up, you want to push things off and you don't seem excited. Do you want to do this? And I just like thought for a second. I'm like, I don't know. And then she said, if I, you know, she's like, you don't need my permission, but she's like, you don't have to. And just so you know, I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to care that we're going to lose that money. She's like, I care about you. I want to make sure that you're healthy. She's like, I'm worried about you. And there've been months of people being like, hey, I'm worried about how much you're working.
Yeah, they were saying. Mm-hmm.
And in the family, like my dad and stuff, years of people being like, you're working too much. And like you, it's like I always prided myself on that blue collar work ethic. And that was like how you have kind of worth and value is you're a hard worker. That's like the best thing you can be in life is a hard worker.
A hustler,
yeah. A grinder. So much respect for that. And now I'm having more people being like, yeah, but you don't have to grind this hard. And then when Lindsay was like, you don't need to do this. And I'm like, you promise you're not going to be mad? And she's like, no. And I'm like, I don't think I want to do it. And then that led to this domino effect where I fired my agency, cancel this tour, also cancel some of the bonus content we were doing on Patreon for Time Suck because it was just a lot. It was like a lot of weekly things. Explain that to the fans. And I'm kind of panicking internally. Like, I know I need to do this, but in my brain, I think all the fans are going to go away. People are going to think I'm a fucking huge pussy. The concert promoter will never want to work with me again because I'm a fucking baby. Like all these old school tough guy voices being like, up, you're a fucking pussy. And now you're being exposed for that. And it's all going to go away. Nope. Everybody was cool. Everybody was like, good job, man. You got to take care of yourself. Agent left the agency, like still with him. Concert promoter was like, whenever you're ready to come back, we support you. We love you. Actually, Andrew Dorfman, one of the Dorfman brothers, he's like, he was worried seeing me in Nashville about my mental health a little bit too, I guess. It was this weird thing where it's like, after I said like, no, there was a lot of people coming out of the woodwork being like, I was pretty worried about you. Like as far as like kind of things I'm talking about on stage, you know, maybe doing psychedelics and things a little too much, you know, like talking about drugs too much on stage. And then I kind of analyze that too. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's like, it's not that I was going to become some fucking addict, but the reason I was trying to do that stuff more is just to have an escape. Mm-hmm. Just to like, it's the only way I could shut my brain off from like being in work mode. So it was a weird week. I felt embarrassed, you know, telling people that I needed time off. I don't know. It was like emasculating almost.
I can understand that. Yeah. But, yeah. That's that then old it feels good. Fucking, you know, grind, whatever, mentality, walk it off.
Totally.
You can't cry.
Nope.
You're not hurt. Just fucking walk. Shut up and walk it off.
Exactly.
Yeah. Put your head down and work.
You just push past it.
When you made that shift and finally accepted it, did you start to feel different?
At first, I felt really like embarrassed and weird. And it's funny, I'm a huge mental health advocate mm-hmm. and talk about it all the time on the podcast.
Dude, I just had to reschedule a weekend in Illinois because I had to go have another back procedure. And I was so worried.
Yeah.
I had never, like, I've missed the weekend only because of flights canceled and didn't make it. I've never, ever shut a whole weekend down and had to reschedule.
For health stuff.
Well, that's not true, actually. I was headlining the Brea Improv and collapsed in the shower with kidney stones the first night I was ever going to headline. I had to call them, like, I had to call them from the hospital and be like, I am just FaceTiming you from the hospital to let you know.
Right.
But this was the first time, and I was so worried everyone was going to be pissed. They couldn't have been nicer. They couldn't have been nicer. Right. They get it. They get it.
That was my experience, too. And it's like, I had this weird thing in my head where it's like, I'm advocating for everybody else's mental health.
But not taking care of ourselves.
But not taking care, like, and that also felt weird too. Like I started feeling more like a hypocrite where I'm like, oh, I want you to take care of yourself, but I'm tougher than that. I don't fucking need that. I'll keep grinding. And then, but then the fans, like, they were like, yeah, man, like, you're always telling us to do these things in our lives. How shitty would we be if we didn't give you that same grace? And it was really touching, actually. And just like everybody being cool. And then now that it's settled in and now that I have, like, I'm not going to be doing all these dates next year. I'm still going to be working plenty mm-hmm. on the podcast, but then I'm just going to be working like what feels like a light 40 to 50 hours. Mm-hmm. I feel like this crazy weight was lifted. I feel so much happier and more creative. I feel like the most creative I've felt in
time to be creative now.
Right?
You're not just in this regimented schedule of we got to get on here, fly there, get on this car, go to this place, go to that. You know, you have time to be creative.
I you ever do mantras in the morning, like wake up and repeat phrases to get your mind set?
No, should I? I journal. I write a lot. You know, I do that, but I don't wake up and. My mantra every morning is like, come on, Stella, get up. Let's go. Come on. We got to get to school, girl. That's my mantra every morning.
I would do like, what do you call it? Like giving yourself intentions for the day.
Yeah.
And it did. It was effective. But also looking back, kind of sad where it's like I would have these mantras. And one of them was like I would literally tell myself I was a robot. Like you're a machine. You're a robot. Like you can power through. You can outwork anybody. Like all these crazy things. And I'd put myself in that mode and I would go into that mode. But then it was very regimented. I was able to accomplish a lot, but I had to have like basically no emotions mm-hmm. and then just no time for like reflection, creativity. Just like, nope, I'm going to do this for 2 hours. Then I'm going to have a 15-minute lunch. Then I'm going to do this. I'm going to eat this kind of thing because it's light. It's not going to make me sleepy. On this plane, I should be able to get 2 hours. I mean, so regimented. And after a while, I'm like, that's not a fucking good way to live. Like, what am I doing? Like, I got into all this because it's fun.
Yes.
And now I've become this machine that is trying to create fun for others while not having fun myself. And I'm like, that is fucking crazy.
I'm a big, that's a big fuck up of mine too, is taking care, being a people pleaser.
Yep.
Taking care of everybody else. And I'll do that for you. Mm-hmm. I'll do that for you. Yeah. And then I don't take care of myself.
Isn't it?
Or they won't do what, you know what I'm saying?
Like reciprocate.
Reciprocation. I'm like, that's tough.
There was some, like Warren Buffett. It's like that guy, I've been fascinated with him forever. And I would read like quotes of his for a while. And years ago, I read something about him saying, and other people have said this, but how no is the most powerful word you can use. And that he said like the most successful people he has ever kind of worked around and met are people who are really good at saying no. The people really good at like, nope, this is what I can handle. This is what I'm good at. This is what I'm doing.
Boundaries.
Yeah. Get away from you with everything else.
It's great advice. Segura taught me that a while
ago. Really?
There's power in no. Because I was like, I called him up and I go, I want your advice on this. I don't even remember what the hell it was years ago. And I'm like, did it? And he goes, you know what? Say no. I can tell you want to say no.
Yeah.
And you're only saying yes because you think there won't be another opportunity say no. Yeah. Fear of everything, you know? And just always in that like survival mode. Survival. Yes. I gotta say yes, because God forbid, where am I gonna get another $1,500 opportunity in the next month or whatever, you know? So, and then when he said that to me, there's power in no. And it wasn't just saying no to bad deals. It's also saying no to overextending yourself and doing all these things. It's great advice for mental health.
Yeah, it took me until I was 46 to really figure that
out. I'm 50 and I still don't have it figured out, bro.
But you get habitualized, I think, in like, I don't know if you, well, I shouldn't assume you do this, but I do this, and I imagine you do this, where you kind of internally maybe think of yourself as Ryan from 10 years ago, 15 mm-hmm. years ago, 20 years ago, not Ryan today. Mm-hmm. Because like today, you're a very established figure in the comedy community. You have a very successful podcast, very successful stand-up. Like people starting off, I would love to be Ryan Sickler. Like you are a known figure. But you probably think of yourself as the guy.
The 16-year-old that has no parents and has no fucking income and yeah. no outlook on life and has no idea what the fuck he's going to do. And right. Panic.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy thing we do to ourselves?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've yet to like just take a deep breath and be like, all right, you know, so I try to practice that too. Like, hey, tomorrow. We're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to focus on today. Today right. we're good, but also tomorrow we're going to be good too.
Yeah.
No matter what happens today, when we wake up tomorrow, that day's also going to be just fine.
Yep.
Yeah. Because we're sitting right now where, but I couldn't think that before. You know what that's like. I lived in my car for a while. I could not say, hey, today's good and tomorrow is also going to be okay. Yeah. So for me, that's leaps and bounds improvement, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this stuff now, but I still have those days too. Like right now, I feel good. But, you know, a week from now, I could be, I mean, my wife, it's like, she's such a saint that way. But Lindsay will also openly tell people like, oh yeah, he's crazy as shit. It's like, you're like, live with him. Like he's a fucking maniac, like just all over the place. And I'm working on it, but it's like off a day like this today. And then a week from now, I might be like telling her, I'm like, it's all going away. We're going to fucking lose everything. Like, She doesn't even get rattled anymore when I say she's like that. She's like, she's used okay, to
it. All right.
Maybe you're hungry.
Going through.
Probably a little tired. Let's pull it together.
Dude, thank you for doing this episode. This has been very, very insightful. Your first time here on this podcast. So I ask everybody.
Yeah.
After whatever we've talked about, it's interesting because you had that high school shift to advice you'd give to your 16-year-old self.
Oh, man. What I would tell my 16-year-old self is
wear sneakers
like,
and get off those motherfucking rollerblades.
Stop trying to burn everything. Stop trying to blow shit up. But I would tell them, I'm like, things are going to get a lot better. Like, you're going to be okay. Like, you're a fucking angry dude right now. Like, a very destructive guy. But I'm like, I know you can't see it, but there's going to be a path for you, and you're going to be fine. Like, you're going to be okay. So just ease up.
That's great advice.
And your stepmom's going to die of cancer. When you're about 30 and it's going to be fine. She's going to be gone. She's going to be dead. And you're going to be okay.
Dude, this is a great episode. Please, again, plug, promote, all of it.
So if you just... you can find Time Suck if you want, I try to make learning fun. You can learn about, you know, various cults, historical figures, historical moments, or if you like campfire ghost stories. I got a bunch of them with Scared to Death, or you can find a bunch of my stuff online, stand up wise, including trying to get better on YouTube.
Hell yeah. Thank you for doing
Thank
this.
Thank you,
for
Ryan.
Real. Yeah. As always, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.